Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
About taking a dare. We've talked about this during Scrooge. We're going to talk about it this morning. I'm going to give you some dares. Because you know what? In order for us to change our life, you have to take a risk, don't you? Now, I'm going to dare you today to do some things. Now, let me just make a promise, first of all, that if you'll take this dare, it will turn out better than your tongue stuck to a pole. Okay? It will just be better than that. But there is a risk involved. The angels dared Scrooge to change. You and I are still being dared to make a change. We're going to look at the three people in Scripture who had an angel come and talk to them in this Christmas story. It's going to begin with Zechariah. And so if you'll take your notes there and follow along with us. Now again, just let me remind you, you all, or most of you understand, that about a little over a week ago we had our soundboard go out. And so we're now using another one that we are not familiar with. It's works differently, it operates differently, and so you might hear some things that you wouldn't normally hear. It's not our sound men. Lord knows they are the best people in the world. Okay. And now they really owe me, which I like. But they're doing a great job, and so just bear with us. And we're going to find out hopefully what's going on here, hopefully in the next week, to see what we need to do. So let's begin with, first of all, dare to stop thinking wrong. Dare to stop thinking wrong. Luke chapter 1, verse 5, Luke begins with this word, it all begins. In other words, the very first thing that happened in the story of Christmas is this one. A Jewish priest named Zechariah, who lived when Herod was king of Judah, Zechariah was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. Now notice, they were good people, weren't they? They obeyed God. They believed in God. God, the Bible calls them righteous people. They had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and now they're both very old. And one day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. And as was the custom of the priest, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary and burn incense in the Lord's presence. And while the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. And Zechariah was in the sanctuary when an angel of the Lord appeared, standing to the right of the incense altar, and Zechariah was overwhelmed with fear. The angel of the Lord said, now I want you to notice something in all three of these instances we're going to look at. The angel says some of the same things, and one of them is, don't be afraid. You see, if you're going to take a dare, you can't be afraid. You're going to have to step beyond your fear and go beyond that. But there always is a little fear involved. And the angel tells him, don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you're to name him John. And you will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice with you at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or hard liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even before his birth. And he will persuade many Israelites to turn to the Lord, their God. He'll be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah, the prophet of old. He will precede the coming of the Lord, preparing the people for his arrival. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. He will change disobedient minds to accept godly wisdom. That's an important phrase. Zechariah said to the angel, how can I know this will happen? I'm an old man now. My wife is also well along in years. And the angel said, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God, and it was He who sent me to bring you this good news. And verse 20 is kind of a sad verse. And now, since you didn't believe what I said, you won't be able to speak until the child is born, for my words will certainly come true. Here is a righteous man, an obedient man, a man who believed in God, and yet had a hard time believing what God said. You see, what you have to do in life, if you're going to live for God, is you have to stop thinking wrong. You have to banish false ideas. All of us are raised with certain ways of thinking. All of us have these ways because of our past, because of how we were brought up, or because of experiences that we've had. And at some point in time, you and I have to stop thinking like that. How many of you would agree that's pretty hard? I'm going to dare you. Would you stop thinking like you've been thinking? I talk to people all the time. And a lot of times, I couldn't do that. Oh, I can't act like that. I wouldn't ever be able to do that. Yes, you can if you just start thinking differently. Now, you see, we have problems with our thoughts. Let me just quickly go through this little list here about wrong thinking. Wrong thinking, first of all, is scared. It's scared. You're afraid. What happens if I change how I think? And what happens if I don't get what I want in life? And what happens if things aren't falling the way I want them to fall? Don't worry, it's just the stuff in the back. It might explode, but it probably won't. What happens if I take place and this goes with me? What am I going to do? What if it doesn't work out? What if I'm, you know? And fear keeps us from thinking right, because our minds are kind of gone in a certain direction, and then when that direction has to change, we're just afraid to change. I got to stand this past week in front of about 300 or so ministers and their wives and tell them, don't be afraid. Now you see, for me to tell you not to be afraid is one thing. For me to tell them not to be afraid is something else. Because some of those, especially those in Vietnam, are in great danger as they minister. And to go ahead and minister and not be afraid. You do understand, don't you, that as you serve God, God doesn't want you to be afraid. We don't know what the future holds. Don't be afraid. We don't know how things are going to turn out. Don't be afraid. Fear will hurt you in life. Wrong thinking is afraid. It's scared. Secondly, wrong thinking is stubborn. Well, I've thought like this a long time. I'm doing okay. Well, what's wrong with the way I think? I think I'm all right. Well, I think I see things pretty clearly. It's the other people who need to change how they think. In fact, if my spouse would just change how they think, everything would be a lot better in life. And we'd get along a lot better. And they're wrong, I'm right. If they think more like me, and you know, then I know you've never thought like that, but some other people have. You know, if they would just think like that, and it gets very stubborn. It's hard to change thought patterns. First of all, we don't think we need to. Second of all, well, I can control this. I can deal with this. It's not going to be a big deal. And so these things get ingrained into our lives, and we get very stubborn in thinking, I'm not thinking so bad. It's not so wrong. I'm not that bad off. It's not going to hurt me that much. I'm okay. And we convince ourselves that it's going to be all right. I dare you to stop that. Don't think like that. Thirdly, wrong, let me go notes. We call it convictions. We don't say we're stubborn. We just say I have strong convictions. You know, it doesn't matter if those convictions are biblical or not. I've got strong convictions. Romans 12:16, you live in harmony with each other and don't try to act important, but enjoy the company of ordinary people and don't think you know it all. That's a major work, isn't it? To come to that place where I recognize I need to change. I need to look at life differently. I need to look at my circumstances differently. I need to think about things differently than I have before, and I don't need to be locked into that. Thirdly, wrong thinking is selfish. Wrong thinking is basically thinking about what's best for me, what I want, what I like, what I think I should have, what I think I'm entitled to, what I think I should get, how I think things should operate. I think it should be more about me. I think I see things right. And so it gets very selfish. And so you have this mentality that's ingrained within us that's based on fear in most cases, because I'm afraid if things don't go a certain way, I won't enjoy life. I won't have any fun. I won't reach my dreams. I won't have what I want. And I'm afraid to change anything different. And we get locked into it. We keep thinking that way, and we keep thinking that way, and then we just start thinking about ourselves. And how many of you understand, according to the Bible, that's a very wrong way to think? Okay, I dare you to quit. Now, there's a right way to think, and let me just give it to you, because if I'm going to tell you what's wrong, I need to tell you what's right. Well, Pastor, if that's the wrong way to think, how should I think? Okay, as a Christian, I should think, first of all, scripturally. I should think according to Scripture. What does the Bible say? If the Bible says it, it doesn't matter what I think. Have you ever quoted Scripture to somebody that's thinking about doing something, ask for your advice or something? You say, well, here's what God's Word said. And they kind of go, yeah, but I think this is different. I don't think that applies. I think this is, you know, and we get off course because we think it doesn't apply to me. And to come to that place where I'm willing to allow my thoughts, if the Bible says it, I should think it. And if I'm thinking differently than what the Bible says, I'm wrong. I'm just wrong. Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is full of living power. It is sharper than the sharpest knife, cutting deep into our innermost thoughts and desires. It exposes us for what we really are. You see, God's Word is always true, and it can be trusted. Now, it doesn't always make sense, but it's always right. What the angel told Zechariah didn't make sense, but it was right. Well, I don't understand. You don't need to. This is what God says. This is how we're to operate. This is what is true in life. This is how I should think. The Bible says, well, you think according to this way. Now, if you're going to think Scripture, that means you have to read Scripture, doesn't it? We have devotional books available. You can go pick them up on your way out today. You should be reading something so that you get God's Word into you so that you can think it. You put a lot of other things in your mind. You'll read a lot of newspapers, a lot of magazines, and watch a lot of television. And you know what? As you keep doing more and more of that, that's how you end up thinking, isn't it? But you and I are to think scripturally. I dare you. Because you know what? If you start thinking according to Scripture, you're going to be weird to a lot of people. That's a risk, isn't it? Secondly, right thinking is spiritual. It's spiritual. Romans 8:5. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that can please the Spirit. In other words, in my thought process, in my mind, I want to please God. I want to do what's right before God. I want to please Him more than I want to please myself. And if I'm going to think rightly, I have to think according to what God's Spirit leads me to do, and I need to be thinking on His things and not all the other junk. I need to fill my mind with Him, and I need to allow Him to direct my thoughts. There are times in my life that I can honestly tell you that I've been thinking about something and heard this little voice in the back of my head. Sounds like me, but I know it's not. And it says this, Phil, you shouldn't be thinking like that. Stop it. God still speaks, folks. His Holy Spirit still speaks in our lives. Now, I dare you to listen to Him. Now, here's the problem. A lot of times, we don't like what He has to say. Well, who's He think He is telling me how to think? He can tell you how to do it right. It's spiritual. Thirdly, right thinking is selfless. It's selfless. It doesn't just think about self. If your life is consumed with self, your life is miserable. You'll never be happy. 1 Corinthians 10:24. Don't think only of your own good. Think of other Christians and what's best for them. Philippians 2:4. Don't think only about your own affairs, but be interested in others too and what they are doing. I have a dare for you this Christmas. I dare you to stop thinking wrong and to start thinking right. For many people, the biggest battle you're facing is not your problems, it's your way of thinking. And if you will change how you think, you will be amazed at how that will change your circumstances. Okay? Got it? I dare you. Zechariah heard the word of God and didn't believe it. Now, I don't know about you, but me, I would think that if an angel came and told me something, I'm good. Right? I'm in. Okay, whatever you say, I believe it. But here's a righteous man. This wasn't an ungodly guy. This is a righteous guy. And when the angel spoke and told him what was going to happen, he didn't get it. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world. Let God transform you into a new person. How? By changing the way you think. Then you'll know what God wants you to do, and you'll know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is. Now, for some of you, you've thought the same way for a long time, and it's a real risk to change how you're thinking. It's unsettling. You kind of look at it and think, wow, I got to think different about this subject. I got to think different about this. It's a risk. I dare you to stop thinking wrong and start thinking right. Secondly, I dare you to surrender to God's plan. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, in the story, one of the next places we see an angel appearing is here. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary, and she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. And Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, I understand that. Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. Now here it is again. Don't be frightened. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her. God has decided to bless you. You'll become pregnant and have a son, and you're to name him Jesus. And he'll be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. And he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, "How can I have a baby? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby born to you will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age, and people used to say she was barren, but she's already in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." And Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. I am willing to accept whatever He wants." May everything you've said come true. And the angel left. I'm willing to accept whatever He wants. Boy, that's risky, isn't it? I dare you to say that. That God, whatever you want in my life, I'm willing to accept it. That right now where you are, I don't need to talk about what's happened to you over the past years. We don't need to look at everything you've done, good or bad. I'm just at you right now in this moment. Are you willing from this moment forward to be willing to say, "God, whatever you want in my life, I'm willing to accept it. I'm willing for you to do whatever you want to do. I'm yours. God, I'll do whatever you want me to do." Because hear me, right now, at this moment, God has you where He wants you. God will take you from where you are and use you. You believe that? And I dare you to believe in faith and say, "God, I believe that you have my best interest at heart, and whatever you want, I'll do." Now, don't you think for a moment that if you say that, that suddenly life will be a bed of roses. Mary says yes, and what happens? She's pregnant. Suddenly here's a young gal pregnant and not married. How do you think that went over in the community? She has a son. She's confused about what's going on throughout his life and how this works, and he ends up dying on a cross, and here she is left. It was a rough road for her. I think things were difficult for her. But from the very beginning, we see the heart of a woman who is willing to say, "God, I may not understand it all, but I'm willing to do whatever you want. I'm willing to go wherever you want me to go. You know, for me, it's I'm willing to go wherever you want me to go. Please just don't send me to Thailand forever. Okay? But God, whatever you want, I'm good. I'm good. So in other words, what that means is you don't get to plan your life. You don't get to determine the course of action. God does. You don't get to put, God, I'll do everything but this. God, I'll tell you what. I'm so trusting of you, I'm willing to believe in you no matter what. Here's what I know. For every person sitting in this room, God has a great future in store for you. God wants to use you. It won't always be easy, but it will be a great adventure. But how many of you understand that God will not force you to do anything? God's going to give you the invitation. God's giving you the opportunity. The angel says to Mary, Mary, here it is. I dare you to accept this. And Mary says, whatever he wants, I'm in. She says, I'm the Lord's servant. Whatever he tells me to do, I'll do. Now, I don't know about you, but when I say those words, I think that's risky. I don't think that's simple. That sometimes makes the future, wow, where's God going to take me next? But I'm here to tell you this morning, the only life worth living is the life worth taking this risk. God, whatever you want, I'll do. And I would dare you this morning to be willing to come before God right now and say, God, I don't know what you have in store for me. God, you know, I'm you're not getting a great deal when you're getting me, God. But whatever you want in my life, I'll do it. That's risky, isn't it? I dare you. I dare you to be willing to allow God to work in your life to that degree. The angel comes to Mary and says, Mary, here's what's going to happen. And Mary, just confused and disturbed, and looks around and goes, wow, don't get it. But I'm the Lord's servant, and I'll accept whatever he wants. It's a hard thing in life to accept things from God. Sometimes God brings some things into our lives that aren't pretty, that if we're not careful, we can take and make them something really horrible. But God wants to use you. And God takes the hurtful things and the hard things and the things you regret, and he takes the things that you wish you could do over, and he takes the life that you've lived and think, well, it's gone, it's too far gone, and he takes all of that, and the song says, he makes beauty for ashes. The song says, all I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, and he makes something beautiful out of my life. And if you're willing to take that risk and that dare, God will take your life and make something great out of it. If you're willing to give it to him, to believe in faith in him, I dare you. Thirdly, you have to dare to see the bright future. Dare to see the bright future. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Third place an angel shows up. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her fiancé, being a just man, decided to break the engagement quietly so as not to disgrace her publicly. In other words, Joseph was walking away. Joseph's intent was, she's pregnant, it's not mine, I'm out. I'm not going to be mean about it, I'm not going to be hard about it, I'm not going to press her about it, I'm not going to embarrass her, but I'm not going to go through with this. I'm going away. That's what was going on, folks. As he considered this, he fell asleep. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, and here it is again, "do not be afraid to go ahead and with your marriage to Mary, for the child within her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit." Now, let me ask you something, just plainly and honestly. If that was you, would you still buy into this? There's still questions, isn't there? That doesn't make sense. Never happened before. "She will have a son. You're to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this happened to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel," meaning God is with us. Now here's the great idea here. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded. He brought Mary home to be his wife. She remained a virgin until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. Wow. What a risk, huh? You see, not only do I have to change how I think, not only do I have to allow my thoughts to be directed by God through His Word and through His Spirit, and not only do I have to be willing to give my life to God and say, "God, whatever you want, I'll do," I then have to begin to obey. Joseph got up, woke up, and obeyed. It's one thing to know what to do. It's a completely another thing to do it. The Bible says if I know what to do and don't do it, it's sin. There's times in all of our lives where we've known what to do and haven't done it, haven't we? Every one of us. But here's Joseph, this man, willing to take this risk. And he dared to go ahead and be obedient to God in spite of all the risk involved. He behaved faithfully. He was willing to obey God. You see, it does you no good to change your thoughts and change how you think. It does you no good to say, "Well, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do," if you're not going to obey God. Well, you say, "Pastor, what I'll do is, okay, God, I'm willing to do what you want to do. You tell me, and then I'll do it." You understand that's not how it works, right? Hello? Okay, here's how it works. Is there something in your life today that God wants you to do, and you know it? There is, by the way, okay? God wants you to treat people right. You know to do that, right? God wants you to love Him. You can do that, right? There's certain things right now that for all of us in this room, we know this is what God wants me to do. Now, the problem is we get hung up about the next week or the next month. And, "Well, God, what about that? And how am I going to make it there? And, God, I'm willing to follow you, but what about this?" How many of you understand that in all these cases when the angels showed up, he kind of told them what was happening, but that didn't make life easier, did it? There was still a big risk involved, wasn't there? And the issue was not, was it going to happen? The issue is, how are they going to handle it today? You've heard me say it before, I'll say it again. If you'll be obedient in what God wants you to do today, you will be where God wants you to be tomorrow. You do what's right now, and tomorrow will take care of itself. You come before the Lord and say, "God, here's what I've got to do. I have to change how I'm thinking. I've got some areas in my life where my thoughts are wrong." Scrooge had to be shown that, didn't he? How many of you understand, for every person in this room, self included, there's some areas of our lives where our thoughts are wrong? I dare you to fix that, to change it. And then to be willing to say, "God, you know what, in my life, here's where I'm at. Whatever you want, I'm good with it. I'm good with it. I'm okay. In fact, that's what I want most. And Lord, I'll do what's right today. 1 John 2:4. If someone says, I belong to God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person's a liar and does not live in the truth. But those who obey God's word really do love Him. That is the way to know whether or not we live in Him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Christ did. If I love God, I obey Him. I do what He wants me to do. That's hard sometimes, isn't it? That's a risk sometimes, isn't it? A willingness to come and say, God, I'll do it. And the angel spoke to Joseph, and Joseph woke up and went and did what he was told to do. Christmas is a time where God dares us to take bigger steps towards Him, to make changes, to recognize His birth, His presence on earth and in our lives, to once again be reminded that Emmanuel is here, God is with us. And today I would dare you. I dare you to stop thinking in ways that are hurting you and that are wrong, and to start thinking in ways that are healthy and biblical. I dare you to allow your life to be completely given to God in such a way that you're willing to say, God, whatever you want, I'm here. Whatever you ask of me, I'm okay. God, what may it be to me whatever you desire. And God, today, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to obey you. I may not understand it all. It might not make sense to me. But I know that if I do what's right with you, life will be good. I dare you. It's a risk, isn't it? But it's really what the Christmas season is about. God coming into this world, using people like you and I to accomplish His plan. People who were righteous but didn't understand. People who were willing and people who obeyed. Will you be one of them as well? Will you take the dare?
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.